Hey, here's a fun game you can play at home while you listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Do a shot of your favorite alcohol every time Ron sighs or makes a grumpy sound. No, hold on, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. You will die from alcohol poisoning. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, that's enough.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program of enormous proportions. Look at the size of this thing. It's unbelievable. Thanks for stopping by. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be entertaining you for the next 30 minutes. At least I will attempt to do so. This costs you nothing. The only thing you pay with is your sanity. Oh no. Hey, tell your friends about the program. You'll no longer have any friends. Hey, you know, that's not such a bad thing. How many Facebook friends do you have? Ooh, that means nothing to me. You know things are not going well when most of your Facebook friends are from Nigeria who you've never met and have scammed you out of $5 million, which you don't even have. That'll be enough theme music. Thank you. Theme music provided by Jason Shaw. Opening and closing themes, incidental music. Incidentally, that's Jason Shaw. Thank you so much, Jason Shaw. Have I said his name enough? Have I said it enough? John Shanahan does the opening announcements of many of the comedy segments on this program. He is a comedy genius. Thank God he's connected to the program. Otherwise, he could be my enemy, and that would be bad. And Nicole Reed is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She's not actually British. She books many of the, or is she? She books many of the national interviews that we do on this program because I'm apparently totally incapable of doing that myself. And believe me, that's true. I will be the first to raise my hand for anything. I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, I'm not good at everything. I'm really good at certain things. I really suck at others. And that kind of balances me out. What do I suck at the most? Well, it's a bucket list that goes on longer than a CVS receipt. I think that the thing that frustrates me the most that I'm unable to do is assemble furniture. I will not do that. I can't do that. I cannot. I would rather deliver a baby through my uterus, which I don't have. Can you rent one of those, by the way? No. I would rather deliver a baby through my uterus than actually assemble furniture, which is, I guess, similar. I won't do it. Every time I drive by an IKEA location, I cringe, like, ooh, that has to be assembled. Ooh, bothers me. Christmas used to bother me because my kids would like their toys assembled or their whatever it was assembled, the bicycles, things like that. I can't do it. I don't know where the pedals go. don't know where the pedals go on a bicycle. Where they're going on the handlebars. I can't follow directions at all from anything or anybody. I could never be in an orchestra with the who's the guy with the baton, the conductor, telling me what to do, when to come in. Come on, seriously? Don't tell me what to do. School was difficult for me for the same reason. Teachers would be trying to teach me, and I'd react by going, don't talk to me like that. Do not talk to me like that. I did not like that, especially when they handed out homework. You know, I want you to read pages 5 through 2053 tonight, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Don't tell me what to read. Oh, yeah? I don't think so. And I want you to take these papers home and take this little test. Don't tell me what to do when I'm out of the school. That's not your business. That's where I live. You can't tell me what to do in my own house. Oh, I hated that. I was very bad at school. Didn't mind learning stuff if I was interested. But through osmosis, I didn't learn anything. I took 3 years of French. I don't know what that means. 3 years of French classes in school, in high school. Because you had to take a language. And believe me, most of the people I knew in my own high school could hardly speak English. It was difficult for them. And they were Americans. I mean, they conjugated all the wrong verbs. It was awful. But we had to select a language. So I chose the language of love. So that I could enhance this personality that you're listening to. So I figured I'll take French. I don't know why. Other people are taking Italian. A lot of people took Spanish. I figured, well, I'm going to learn that just by osmosis anyway. So I took French. And the French teacher was actually French. Yeah, he was actually from France. But he lived in the United States and taught at this high school. So he was actually French. He was Mr. Bogatti. I can't believe I remembered his name. I can't remember where I put my keys, yet I remember the teacher from my French class. And he was lucky. He had me for 3 years. Oh, he'd had enough of me for 3 years. Because I was a class clown, obviously. The sarcastic son of a bitch, class clown. And every time Mr. Bogatti would say, Ron, how do you say I'm going to the library in French? And I would say, I am going to the library. And the class would laugh, and Bogatti's neck veins would start thumping. You could actually hear them thumping. His veins would show up like worms started to crawl on his neck. He hated me. Because I made fun of his little language. Ron, could you please tell us how are you today? Say that in French.
How are you today?
Oh, my veins are popping, Van Damme. So that was me. I was the class clown. I even wore the big floppy shoes and had the big red nose and had clown makeup. I took class clown very literally. I would show up in the classroom in a tiny little car. And I took it literally. I would I'd do pantomime, you know. And it was crazy. It was crazy. I'd make believe I'm pulling on a rope and there'd be nothing there because that's what pantomime people do. I hate pantomime. I did it for a while when I was in what we call junior high school. I think you call it middle school. I don't know what the hell. And I would get up on the stage and I would do pantomime and because I didn't have to talk. I like pantomime because I didn't have to say anything. I didn't have to remember any lines or anything like that. And I could hide behind this little mask of drama. And I would pull on a rope. It wasn't a real rope. There was nothing there. I would make believe I'm pulling on a rope. And then I would make believe I was stuck in a box. I mean, everybody feels that way, don't they? Look, he's stuck in a box just like I am. Yeah. Pulling on a rope, being stuck in a box. Those were my specialties. You know, Ron, you being stuck in a box and pulling on a rope, you're amazing. I know. I mean, I know I am missing. Oh, the French accent. We love that class clown stuff. Anyway, yeah, that's what happened. So I can't be told what to do. It's just not in my DNA, my SUV, my SVU. So I can't follow directions, and that's why I cannot assemble furniture. Whoa, full circle. Nicely done, Ron. I cannot assemble a furniture. I would rather not sit on it at all. Yeah, I remember getting a desk chair from Staples. By the way, what is a store named Staples doing selling desk chairs? Shouldn't you be concentrating on specialty staples? I never understood the title of that store. I guess Staples could be taken to mean that these are staple office items. Staple office items meaning office items that you would use on a regular basis as a staple. I get that. I think I get that. But because it is an office supply store, I'm figuring that their selection of staples should be magnifique. I mean, they should have staples from every country, all different colored staples. I just see them in that metal color, that's all. In boxes of all different sizes. I mean, we are a specialty store on staples. Okay, that's the last thing that I would think a specialty store would be devoted to. Yes, all we have is staples. No staple guns. We don't have that because guns are not allowed here. We just have staples. Do you have any pencils? No, staples. Look at the name on the store. So anyway, I went in there and I bought a chair. And I sat in a chair in the Staples store, and it was extremely comfortable. And I sit in chairs a lot. As a matter of fact, it's what I do. It's my bane of existence is sitting in a chair. I'm a talk show host. I could stand, but I choose not to. So it was ergonomically comfortable for me. I don't know what I meant. I don't know what that meant. So I sit in the chair in the Staples thing, and I say, okay, I'm taking this chair, and I start to leave. And he says, oh, no, that's the floor sample. I said, oh, good, okay. Is it discounted because it's a floor sample? Other people put their ass on the chair, so is it discounted? No. We're going to sell you the chair. Okay, I'll wait here, and you bring me the chair. And this guy comes out with a box, and I said, what the hell? What the hell? How does that chair fit in that box? He said, listen, moron, and by the way, my name is Ron, so when he said moron, I thought, okay, that's part of my name. So it comes up with this little box, and I said, well, where's the chair? He says, it's in the box. So does it fold? I said, no, you have to assemble it. You said the dirty word to me. I don't assemble things. I can't do it. I am assembly deficit. I cannot put anything together. I can't even put together why you're even working here, much less a chair. This is very, very simple. It's very simple. Yeah, famous last words. It's very simple. You don't understand. Nothing is simple when it comes to directions. Okay, I'm telling you. So I bought the chair, bought the box home. I opened the box. There's like 2,000 pieces. All kinds of screws and nuts and bolts and Deli meat. I couldn't understand. There was an Allen wrench, a wrench for a person named Allen. I'm not named Allen. What am I supposed to do with this wrench, Bob? If my name was Allen and there was an Allen wrench in the box, I'd say, oh, okay. Possibly they understand that this is for me. So I'm assembling the chair, and it doesn't look like a chair. It looks more like a torture implement used in the 16th century. I've got the wheels of the chair up on the arm area. It just doesn't, because I can't follow directions. I refuse. I hate to be told what to do. They even have illustrations. And see, I don't follow the instructions because something always goes wrong. I'm a screw too short, which people have said to me before. I'm a screw too short or a piece heavy. So I just look at the picture and I put the stuff together based on what the picture looks like. I figure, well, at least I can be creative that way. I cannot assemble things. My children never rode bicycles because I could not assemble them. Ronnie, you know, you can buy the bicycles full. You don't have to assemble the bicycles. Now you tell me. Yeah. It's been a difficult life accordingly. Not to be able to assemble things. School's horrible. This is a horrible, horrible situation. It is horrible. I'm just not able to do it. I don't know what is that ADD, assembly deficit disorder? I don't know what it is. I'm sure there's a name for it. There's a name for every single disease and problem. I don't know what half those words are. Like if you have a fear of pianos, you would think that would be pianophobia. It's not. It's too simple. We don't make things simple. The English language is very, very complicated. I have an acquaintance who is from the Orient. I believe he's Chinese. I really don't know. I don't ask him. He doesn't ask me. We get along. But I think he's Chinese. And I remember going to Chinatown, and they have hieroglyphics. No, that's the way that they write. They write with symbols. Whoa, that is kind of like caveman stuff, isn't it? I don't think they don't have letters. They have symbols. I really don't know. I don't know. It's pretty, but I don't know. I don't know if I could do a language that just has symbols. Like, you're an idiot. Let me give you a symbol that reflects that. Look at this picture. How dare you call me that? I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't know what I'm doing. Sign language. That's when you don't talk. You just shape your hands into various depictions, and they can you know, read that. But I thought sign language was like you take a piece of paper and a magic marker, and you write down hello, and you hold up the sign. Wouldn't that be sign language? It would make sense, wouldn't it? Well, we don't speak. We use sign language. We just hold up signs to each other. Ron, I don't think that's what sign language is. It should be. I have an interesting guest coming up any moment now. So I need to get out of the way. Thank you for participating in this listening experiment. I don't know how you do this. I really don't. I don't understand. We'll be right back after these short, very short commercial words.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Dr. Derek Cass joins us now. He's an HHS Regional Director for Region 2. That's a ominous type of title. What exactly is that?
So the Regional Director really is the interface between the stakeholders, local elected leaders, citizens of the community in a group of states or territories.
I see.
And also an interfacing with the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the administration. So I serve Region 2, which is New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Region 1 includes the state of Massachusetts.
Wow. Okay. It's a lot of stuff. All right. We're talking about COVID, which we've done much, and we're kind of surprised we're still talking about it, but we are in a very real way. COVID boosters, of course, have become multiple boosters, actually two boosters, as I understand it, and I know working on a third with a variation on the booster. Are boosters still necessary?
So for especially the most vulnerable among us, they are necessary, right? Remember that the vaccine itself really primes your immune system to see the virus if you're exposed in your community, if you're exposed at work, if you're exposed at school. And it prepares your body to have those antibodies ready. But like all vaccinations and all kind of antibody generation, it can wear off over time. And so especially if you're over the age of 50, if you have a medical condition that puts you at high risk for complications, it's really important that you wake up your immune system with that booster, which is very safe and very effective, and make sure that your body is in, you know, full form, ready to go if it unfortunately sees that virus.
It's amazing to me how many different reactions and symptoms there are to this. In my personal experience as a radio host, I speak to a lot of people. The majority that have had extreme symptoms such as dizziness, high temperatures, coughing, that kind of thing, have been middle-aged adults. The seniors, not too much really symptom-wise. It's kind of interesting to me, but that's what I found.
Yeah, I think it's about how you react to the vaccine and how you talk about it, right? Some people who may feel that the vaccine and the booster are giving them the best chance to fight off infection may not notice or even talk about symptoms that they may all be having. But the bottom line is that reaction, the fever, the fatigue, the muscle aches, those are that's your immune system reacting to the vaccine in a safe and predictable way.
Yes.
And that's really good. It means your immune system is working.
Interesting. There's another variant. I think it's still being discussed as to what the effects of it might be and how it differs from the other variants. It's still a cause for concern, according to what you're telling us.
Well, look, I think that the entire virus and every variant is a cause for concern, especially in people that are the most vulnerable. What we need to remember is that this virus is still out there, and that we need to use the safe and effective tools we have, which include vaccinations and boosters. It includes testing. It includes masking up indoors. And it includes being aware of who's around you and making sure that you're really protecting yourself and your community as best as you can.
That's absolutely true. We have a choice as to what we engage in and what we don't. And I'm not talking about vaccines. I'm talking about gatherings. If it's a gathering where people are close, whether you're vaccinated or not, right now, you might want to just think twice about that. It's kind of common sense, but a lot of people wait until it's too late. Let me ask you, because not everybody got vaccinated and boosted at the same time, it's difficult to understand. I know that there's work on a new vaccine for the fall to deal with the BA4 and 5 and whatever may come. What happens if you're between booster period? Is it a good idea to get boosted now, but then I can't get the new boost that soon?
So I would say that for everybody that's eligible right now, it's definitely a good idea to get boosted now.
Mm-hmm.
When and if we have a new vaccine that comes out, we will come along with recommendations about how to get vaccinated and boosted with that new vaccine. But it's really important that if you are exposed to this BA.5 variant next week, you want to be as protected as possible.
Right.
So yes, please get boosted right now if you're eligible.
Because they are still effective, even though it's a different variant.
Yes.
Okay. What about age-wise? Are the boosters and the vaccines available for everybody now? And I'm talking about young kids as well. I mean, are we all now safe to take this?
So everyone over the age of 5 who's been more than 5 months from their finishing of their primary series, which for most people is 2 vaccines, is eligible for a booster. And then those over the age of 50 are eligible for a second booster if it's been 4 months since their third shot.
Okay. All right. I think that what stopped people from the past are the side effects. There are so many stories about these horrendous side effects. More horrendous, the stories that if you don't get boosted or vaccinated, even worse. But some people are like scared of that side effect thing, which I don't quite understand. I mean, does that make any sense?
Well, look, people are allowed to feel how they feel about lots of things, and I think it's important to address those concerns with information. So if you're concerned about having fatigue or fever or muscle aches from the vaccine, then be prepared with Tylenol, Motrin fluids.
Right.
You know, sometimes people choose to take the day off of work the next day or get vaccinated on a Friday so they can rest on the Saturday if they have side effects. What we can say unequivocally is that the side effects of the vaccine often pale in comparison to the effects of having the virus.
For sure.
And that the vaccine itself is very, very safe and effective against the most severe consequences of this virus, which unfortunately still remains to be hospitalization and death.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the bottom line is keep me out of the hospital. I mean, that's pretty much it. I've had the flu before. I stayed home for 4 days to a week, which I think is even longer than what the COVID is looking at. And I survived that. I mean, it was the flu. We're getting into a world of pansies here because you don't want to go to the hospital. You don't want serious complications. Get vaccinated. I don't understand what the problem is, to be honest with you. All right. We can get COVID vaccinations almost anywhere now. It's not tough to get. What if people needed more information or had more questions?
So the best resource for information on vaccines and vaccine locators is actually a federal website called vaccines.gov.
Yeah.
And you just go to vaccines.gov. You can put in your zip code. It'll tell you where the nearest vaccination center is.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, it has a lot of information and answers a lot of people's questions about boosters and vaccination and side effects and variants.
Yeah.
It's a really great resource for anybody that has questions or concerns. And, of course, you can always, always, always reach out to your primary care medical doctor and ask them questions as well.
Yeah. I'll tell you a quick little funny story. It's not really funny. Ever since wearing the mask at the beginning of this COVID thing, I've not been sick at all. I've had no flus, no COVID, no colds. I haven't even had a cold in 3 years. I'm doing the mask thing if I'm in public for now on, because I mean, seriously, that proved something to me. It proved that, hey, I can, if I want to wear a mask and not get sick, fine. But
there are lots of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That have chosen to wear more masks, mask up and stay masked up because of the exposure. And so I think it's a choice, and I think we should encourage everybody to do what's best for them.
Absolutely.
To continue to mask up, especially in high risk circumstances and high risk people, and make sure that we're at least, kind to each other and understanding about each other's risks and each other's sense of security in this moment.
Doctor, the bottom line to everything, both COVID-wise and life itself, is respect. Respect other people around you. It's so simple, and yet we don't seem to get that too well. Doctor, it's been a pleasure. One more time, more information?
So the best resource we have is vaccines.gov. You can go there, find information about vaccines and information on safety, efficacy, and where it's available nearest you.
Great. Dr. Dana Cass, thank you so much for your time.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. I'll be back again on Monday
with a brand new program. I hope you join me then. Until that time arrives, which could be like a while, I wish you peace.
All right, that's it. That'll do it. That's enough.
It's so hot outside, isn't it?
Whatever.